Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast, the podcast that follows the Ham Radio Crash Course on YouTube. Back again another week, talking to my wife about ham radio.
Yay.
So how's it going, Leia? How is how's this week been treating you?
This week has been really tough.
Yeah.
I went through this roller coaster of information where it sounded like the school district was gearing up to come back in person because our school districts are closed.
Right.
They're virtual only.
Right.
And it sounded like they were gearing up to open for hybrid. And so I checked in with my friend at the school district and I was told, no, the district's not going to apply for any attendance waivers. We are going to wait until the end of January.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're living that classroom life is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad though, because what they were saying is that if they go hybrid, they're only really getting 8 hours of teacher time.
Like because a day or a week?
A week.
Oh, okay. You need to specify. I'm
because
like,
it's,
8 hours of teacher time seems like plenty.
It's
seems like too much to somebody like me. Too much teacher. Teacher, I'm going to need a little time.
Well, I mean, normally the kids would be there from like 8:30 till 3,
mm-hmm.
right? But
mm-hmm.
they're talking about 4 hours a day, basically, in person. And then there's a debate over whether the remaining 3 days is going to be like the teacher being video broadcast
mm-hmm.
so that the kids at home can watch.
Oh, it's not even
teacher.
A live thing. It's just a broadcast.
Well, it is live.
Well, it's a broadcast usually implies it's not two-way. It's just somebody broadcasting something to you.
Well, I don't know how the teacher is going to engage with the students that are on virtual plus the kids that are in person. And then some people think it's just going to be asynchronous where they just are given their work and then the parents have to make it happen.
Make it happen. You're a TA now. Broadcast, that's a term we use in ham radio, or oftentimes we get corrected when we use it in ham radio. We don't broadcast. We transmit.
Oh.
You know the distinction? Just hit you with a thing right off the top here.
A broadcast, like you said, is one way and a transmission is two way.
Right. So if you think about a commercial radio station, they broadcast. But
right.
ham radios, we transmit because you could reply back to me.
Right.
We can transmit back and forth. And reply, transmit, and listen.
And tell you what I really think about what you're saying on the air.
That's right. Whatever politics or medical ailments we're talking about.
Could you even imagine what the debates would be like if they were transmitted?
Oh, after the last presidential debate, we hopped on to 80 meters, like all of us collectively in the HRCC Discord. And different people, you know, at different states were hearing different conversations.
That is
all
so interesting.
All people ranting. Because, you know, you could hear 80 meters. 80 meters can be a tricky band because the antenna is really long, generally.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll hear, like, close-in stations better than far-off stations.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really DX on 80 meters that long,
mm-hmm.
That much. People do, but it's more of a rare thing. It's more for local comms. By local, I mean, like, 400, 500 miles away in and around that bubble kind of space. So it was really interesting. Well, today, we're going to have an interesting topic for our main show. It's going to be the Ham Radio Handheld Cold War.
What?
Yeah. And
I don't like Cold Wars.
It's kind of a hot topic that I'm using. We'll break it down. It should be really fun. I think you're going to be really interested in it because there's a lot of businessy stuff we're going to be talking
about.
So,
businessy
right?
stuff.
But for the Ham Radio Minute, and I know we're going to go over a minute, but what I wanted to talk about, and like we did the last week, we're going to do right in the opening, I'll hit you with some kind of like quick facts on things that I think people should know more about. Today, we're going to be talking about the SWR meter.
Yes.
The standing wave ratio meter.
Yes. I hope I get that question on the test it's fresh.
This is like a free cram
set.
So a lot of people have SWR meters in their HF radios, right? Their standard base station, high frequency.
Comes in
station.
The radio.
Yeah. It's a screen, right? It's a little gauge either on your digital display or it's an actual needle, like an old traditional needle.
You said it was standard wave ratio?
Standing.
Why is it standing wave ratio?
So the standing wave ratio, the number that you get out of it, is showing how well your radio is coupled to the antenna and how well the antenna is resonating.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So the best you can be is a one-to-one match, meaning your radio is transmitting into the antenna.
So how far does the gauge go? It goes from 0 to 1?
No, it goes from 1 to like 10 or like 9.
Okay, so you're shooting for a 10.
No, you're shooting for a 1. You want the lowest number possible.
Oh, you're shooting for a 1.
Means perfect match between the transmitter and the antenna.
So you've got this SWR.
Right.
And you're going out and you're messing with your antenna.
Yes.
Until it reads as close to 1 as possible.
Oh, you're nailing this. I thought I was going to have to walk through most of this, but no, you're perfect. Yeah. So on HF radios, like QRP radios that you take on the field, they generally have some way to display the SWR. And if you're using a vertical antenna that has like a coil that has a little collar that you have to adjust up and down.
So do you have to be transmitting for the SWR to...
Yes.
Okay, so you set up your antenna. So yes. You're on a POTA, for instance.
Perfect example, okay. Yes.
You set up your antenna, you go back to your radio, you start transmitting, and mm-hmm. It's like you're at a 9. Rut-row.
Yeah, so you stop transmitting because you can actually do damage to your radio, technically. Some of the older radios had that problem.
What is the range, what is the damage range on the SWR?
Well, if you peg the needle all the way to the right, that probably implies that your antenna is way out of match for your transceiver,
okay.
For the frequency you're transmitting on. So stop transmitting immediately.
Okay.
One clarification point.
Or you'll burn yourself or you'll fry your...
If it's an older radio, you could damage it if you just held it there for a really long time and like screamed into the microphone, whatever.
Yeah, because that's exactly what hams like to do, scream into the microphone.
Right. Yeah. So generally you want to use something that has like a carrier tone to it, a mode like AM that has a carrier.
Okay.
FM's really good too because it puts out full duty cycle, which is a topic we're not going to talk about yet. We'll get to that in the future. You don't want to use single sideband for your SWR check. So when you're in the field, turn it to like AM or FM, or if you have a digital mode like RIDI.
So why don't you want to use single sideband? Because
you're not always putting out the power. It fluctuates with your voice. So you would actually have to turn the PTT microphone and scream into it as loud as you can. Right.
Oh, yeah, that's an 8. Let's go ahead.
I can feel it. So you're aiming for an SWR. I generally tell people aim to be 2 and below.
Okay.
So from 2 down to 1.
So you are out on this POTA.
Mm-hmm.
Your SWR is registering you at a 5.
Yeah.
Then what do you go do to your antenna?
So you go to your antenna, and if it's a vertical with like one of those adjustable collars, mm-hmm. You probably like try and click it down. A click or two. You go back to the radio, you check it again. If the number went up, you went the wrong direction. You need to go back to where you were a 5 and then go up.
What do you mean click it down? I'm imagining a dipole.
Oh, okay. So then a dipole, it would be either lengthen the legs or shorten the legs.
So and there's no way to know.
You've got to run back to the radio, you adjust it, and then you run back to the radio,
do the check
again. And
then it gets worse. And then so then you go
the other way.
Okay.
Yeah. So dipoles, generally, you do that when you're at home. You'd set it up at home, you'd check the SWR, and then you'd lock those legs.
But, what's the DX Commander? Isn't that a dipole?
No, it's a vertical, but it's technically a vertical fan dipole. There's a bit of complexity there. But, let's use the DX Commander, for instance. When you set that up,
work right out the bat.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. I mean, it might. Maybe you cut it perfectly. But you go cut all these elements for the band you're going to operate on. Then you assemble it, and you check your SWR. If your SWR is either too long or too short, you have to adjust the final length of that antenna piece and check it with your SWR meter.
Okay, so the DX Commander.
Mm-hmm.
If you cut it to the right, you set it to the right length.
Yes.
Can you put it away so that it's...
Yes.
And then so no matter where you go after that point, it's going to be resonant with your radio?
Pretty much, unless there's like a mechanical failure in the antenna, it's going to stay tuned pretty much on that frequency that you tuned
it for. And are all antennas like that? You can set it up and then...
Well, dipoles are like that. So you set it up at home, you adjust the legs of the dipole, you adjust the DX Commander. Maybe you have like an NFED half wave. You adjust that total wire length mm-hmm. to find where the resonant spots are. And then, you can lock it down and leave it alone. If you use something like a multi-band vertical that has a coil of wire,
right?
The coil of wire usually has a collar that goes up and down.
Okay.
And as you move up and down the collar, you're lengthening or shortening the antenna.
Oh, so you've really got to fiddle with that when you're
particularly if you change bands.
I mean, couldn't you just mark on the collar?
You can, but you still should check your SWR meter at all times.
Okay.
Keep an eye on it.
Gotcha.
Now, for the people that are VHF, UHF operators, handy talkies, mobile radios, that kind of stuff, it's still not a bad idea to have an SWR meter, particularly if you're going to make your own antennas. And it's a really inexpensive way to check your SWR before putting it on the radio and operating with it. So That's the Ham Radio Minute. How do we do on that one? We're past 10 minutes already.
Excellent.
All right.
Ham Radio 10 Minutes.
The Ham Radio 10 Minutes. That's right. So the next segment we like to do is pull up a bit of the reviews we got since our last week. Thank you so much that review us. The fastest
way. Can't tell you how much I love reviews.
Leia goes in blind every week to these. She's got a bandana on right now. She's blindfolded. So the best way to do a review for us, and we very much appreciate the reviews. Thanks, everybody, for doing them, is go to, you know, iTunes. You could just Google iTunes Ham Radio Crash Course.
Yeah.
And you can find us, and you can review us there. You know, there's lots of different ways to do it. But this is kind of the best way because we can pull them all up quickly. So thank you for doing that.
I mean, the way that the iTunes store works is if you follow or subscribe to the podcast and you rate it and you comment it, it considers that super relevant.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It actually will bump us up the ranks, if you will.
I mean, so it would be nice if people did that, what I really care about is the comments because it feels like
reading
a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It does.
I mean, that's a side benefit we also appreciate. So
yeah. Because otherwise, it's just us talking at the dinner table.
Otherwise. It's not like I'm so used to YouTube where you get comments immediately like, you suck, stop doing this.
Right.
You get a lot of good ones too.
Ever had somebody comment that to you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, of course.
You suck, stop doing that?
That's like the nice way of putting it. Yeah.
It's free to them. They can just close the window.
I took their time. I took it. The internet put it through the cable. I've got a little pouch that I keep time, and they never get it back. They can't refund that time that I stole from them.
Yeah, that's how I feel about doubles plus one.
Oh, jeez. We're not getting into Common Core math today. All right.
I'll never get it back.
Another reason to love Fridays from KM6MCI. You remember MCI, the long distance carrier? Remember MCI?
No.
You can hear a pin drop.
Oh, yes. See, that's a good one.
I look forward to Leia's podcast each week. Just kidding, Josh. This podcast is amazing. Not only is it informative, but so entertaining. I like the way the topics are discussed between you and Leia, and of course the banter and tangents are great. Please keep up the awesome content. 7 threes. And that's from Brett.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brett.
I sometimes worry when we're doing the podcast that I'm such a noob at ham radio that it's off-putting.
No, I don't think so. I've told you, you're the Watson to my Sherlock.
Oh, I thought it was like the fish out of water and Emily in Paris. But instead
Emily in Paris?
Instead
what is
of
that?
Paris, it's Ham Radio.
What is Emily in Paris? Is that stupid show you've been watching?
Yeah, it's a new Netflix series made by the makers of Sex and the City. But
totally
instead of
relevant.
New York, it's in Paris.
Oh, okay.
But it's got its own culture, right? Like it talks
I've heard
like,
that about Paris.
Parisian workplace kind of stuff.
There's a culture there. They've been doing it for a while, I've heard.
Yeah, and then there's like crotchety, angry people and like
French
very
people.
Kind,
are we talking about
very
French
kind,
people now?
Helpful people.
Okay. Right
yeah,
on.
I mean, they're all French.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. I'm with you. It is in Paris, so that makes sense. Fun and informative, says Skychip. Love Leia's podcast.
Oh.
She needs to get her extra before her hubby does. Too late. Her hubby already has it.
Oh, do you remember when you didn't have it? And that was every time you streamed.
Gave you
every time you streamed. Mm-hmm. It was when you get your extra. You
yeah, there was
you
one,
no extra having.
There was one ham radio operator who has no longer talked to me, who spent I would say months DMing me.
Oh,
as he was going through his license, getting like asking me questions, and I really took a lot of time. To answer questions to this
you
guy.
Are really good about that. And I feel but bad because I'm not great about answering
well,
emails.
Well, hang on to your butts because I got a little mean towards the end here. So I'm giving you a little behind the curtain access.
Did you snap?
Kind of. Not completely, but kind of. Because I got to the point where basically what happened was he spent a lot of time asking me questions, which I haven't even finished his comment, but we will, I promise. And I was getting really... kind of, it was just a lot. It was a lot of time. I wasn't upset. It was like, great, because he went and got his technician pretty quickly. And I was like, you know, great, good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But then I think he either knocked out his general and then studied a bit and got his extra, or he knocked them both out at the same time. I was like, wow, that's fantastic. Congratulations. But then he kept like quizzing me on stuff after he got his extra.
Not asking you for help, but checking your knowledge.
Yeah, he was kind of like checking me. But it was, he was checking me as though he knew, but he didn't know. So he was asking me questions, and we haven't got to him yet, but you know there's like band spaces? We covered band spaces where there's a lower side and an upper side. Well, if you're on the lower side of a band and you're using lower sideband, if your center frequency is on the low sideband, your lower sideband is transmitting outside the ham radio space.
Oh.
And I think I spent almost a day trying to explain to him what the center frequency involvement of upper and lower sideband was. And it turned into this kind of like, he got kind of angry. And I was like, listen, go look at the test manual. You just took the test. Go check the test manual. Yeah. It's all in there. And he got really pissed off from that. So he turned into the guy that every week would hop on the stream and ask me after he got his extra, when are you getting your extra?
So the interesting thing is you already had the knowledge to pass your extra before way before you went to go get your extra.
To a point. Most of it, sure. But like electronics get me. You know, I'm a software engineer. I'm not an electronics engineer.
Yeah.
Electrical engineer. So, you know, everybody's going to have a little bit of trouble with that test.
That actually bothers me a little bit, because that's not the. You get a lot of questions and you are so good about answering.
I mean, this
them.
Isn't about pumping up my ego, but it's I
not.
It. Thank
but
you.
Like I, you know, I have access to
me,
like all of your like Hashnasi's page, the ham radio crash course main page.
You can see all of it.
I can see. Like I get pinged every time you do, and I see you answering just a multitude of questions, which is very time consuming. And I know you love to do it, but I think it's such a nice thing that you do. And you're like, you're so responsive. You're much better than me about being responsive.
I can't respond to my mom's text message, but I'll respond to you with a Facebook ham radio question. Yeah, I know. Sorry, Mom.
No, you're good about responding to your mom too.
Yeah, I guess. All right, let's get back to the
comment. But it's disappointing to me that somebody would then kind of like try to take what is like you being generous with your time just to crap on you.
Everybody feels that. I think all the YouTubers feel
I think
that
I'm
way.
Getting a little like
you're getting very defensive and
I am. I'm getting defensive for you because that like
on.
Upsets me.
But thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to Skychip's comment, I'll just restart it. Love Leia's podcast. She needs to get her extra before her hubby does. We have it. This is what started the whole thing. Really, I do love the podcast. It is fun to listen to on my drive to and from work, which is podcast primetime slot, man. My drive times are very boring due to no nets during my commute. This fills my void for ham radio info. They need to do more episodes a month. Oh, we're doing like four.
That's
good too. You would basically have to like dip into YouTube time at this point.
That's like the second comment we've gotten about like more podcasts, right? Yeah. I have thought about doing, you had spun off like a lot of the family stuff onto a vlog, and I've thought about doing that.
Oh, yes. It's Swell Family. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
you don't edit, you don't shoot video.
I mean, I could.
You could.
So I'm thinking about it.
Oh my gosh, don't say things like that because people are going to start talking about it.
I just don't think it would be interesting to your audience. It's just something that like I kind of want to share now that I'm like home all the time. And
that's an interesting
thought. I'm baking bread and I'm gardening. And
there's very little ham radio in your day, I think. That's true.
I think I am building my prepper skills though.
Nice.
So that might be somewhere we go with like suburban prepper kind of stuff.
Nice.
You know?
Suburban homesteading. That's what all the cool kids call it now.
I have planted a lot of fruit trees.
Yeah. When we start ripping out the front lawn. I mean, you're already dipping into the front lawn space with fruit, like trees and stuff. And
I would love to put
just
like...
rip it out. I would be totally down for that.
Vegetable beds up there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Love the podcast from Dufia Man. Just getting into ham radio and learned a lot from listening to you. Your wife brings a lot of fun to the episodes as well.
Thank you.
I don't know what the one reviewer was talking about. Keep up the great work, guys.
By and large, everybody's been really nice, but there have been, you know, a few comments in the the iTunes reviews, but I don't know that I'll ever shake the racism.
Oh no, yeah, the overt racism on that.
Yeah,
one
it was
live stream.
Just bananas, and I think that's one of the things that kind of
it's kind of like a shock and awe. Once you go to that level, the soft mean comments, nothing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's just like nothing slides right off you. No biggie. That's what I feel anyway. Entertaining and helpful from Future Ham Adam. Oh, this is actually, I got to click more. A couple of these are like that. Love HRCC, super helpful. Discovered when I got my GMRS license and I was trying to figure out how to program the
radio. What's a GMRS license?
General Mobile Radio Service. It's an FCC license unrelated to ham radio.
Really?
It's family-based. You pay $75, there's no test, and everybody in your family can use it.
Why do we not have that?
Because it's limited. It's like handy talkies and low-powered mobile radios only.
Right, but it might not be a bad idea for like our family members who don't want to bother getting licensed, but we need to...
Oh, you will bother.
I mean, not me, but like my mom, my sister, your mom,
well,
your
sister.
Well, it's
not like all your family. They'd all need their own GMRS license.
Oh, what?
It's not like... It's like the our like people that live in our home... Family.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I guess we don't need it for our house.
Right. I have been studying and learning things for my technician test, which I'll be taking in Huntington Beach in a few weeks. Right on. I too struggle. Oh, I just lost it. I too struggle with power and number aspects of the technician test. So it is nice that she does too. So it allows me to understand when he has to explain something to her. Keep up the good work, and thanks for always answering my questions on Instagram.
Thank you. That actually makes me feel less stupid.
You're not stupid at all. You're seeing this for the first time in most of these questions. I don't view you as stupid at all. Okay. Building the anticipation from NK Smith 70. Y'all are the most genuine people, and your interactions are priceless. I will be a fan for decades just to hear about your kids' reaction to their first exposure to the podcast, especially 57 with the metal Barney reference.
Ben listens to the podcast now.
He does?
Yeah. And sometimes he just cues up your YouTube channel and watches.
Hmm. Thanks for the views, Ben.
He's a
sure
big
to
fan.
Like and subscribe.
Big fan.
Or thumbs up. I laugh out loud every episode and tend to learn a bit about ham radio too. Keep up the great work from Nick. That is KJ7NWK. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
And lastly, make ham radio fun again from Satellite Guy 951. This is the...
He better not be suggesting a satellite antenna. That better not be in that comment.
This is the one podcast that I make a point of listening to each week.
Aww.
I have been listening since the first week that Josh and Leia started doing this together, and they make a great podcast team. It is mostly entertaining and also informative at times. I got back, interesting, still 5 stars. I got back into ham radio after being away from the hobby for 25 years because of the ham radio crash course videos on YouTube. Josh has truly been able to make ham radio fun again, for me at least. I also don't use iTunes anymore, but downloaded it just so I could write this review. That's how much I enjoy the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much.
73 from Dirk Snyder, N6UNH. That was very nice.
Thank you. We'll try to be more informative.
Well, the way I look at what he was saying is it's mostly entertaining and also informative at times. Since where it's not entertaining, that's when it's informative.
That's very nice.
You know, it's a whole pie. Yeah. At that point. He was verbally expressing a pie chart.
Thank you. That is so nice. But also, we'll try to be more informative anyway.
Well, we opened with a bang. I think that was helpful. So, Leia, let's throw it to you and your emails, the Leia's Corner email chat.
Ooh,
here.
Yes. Okay. So I got some responses from the previous emailers.
Oh,
right?
Okay. So there we're doing replies now and new emails.
Yeah,
oh,
a little bit, because there were actually, I'm not going to do all of the replies, but there was clarification that ON does stand for the country of Belgium. We had discussed his review and it was on country. ON country. And I was like, what's ON country? That is actually Belgium.
Good. Wonderful.
And then he is also emphasizing that the Trappist West beer is still brewed by monks. Oh. So, and I love things brewed by monks. I mean,
that was one of the big things about the Belgian beers, right, is that some of them, I mean, that was kind of the whole thing, right, is that it was a Belgian monk that created Belgian beers.
Right, right.
Historically, I believe.
Well, it was like, it was used, it was, wasn't it kind of used as currency for the monks?
That is a fantastic monetary system. That is much superior than fiat currency any day. How many beers you got on you?
Okay. Matt actually responded. He was the one who was talking about his wife and how do I talk her into a new radio. And we got into a very realistic conversation of how you can get away with a ham radio purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I didn't read this on the podcast, but he brought up something that was really interesting. He said he got into ham radio as an extra layer of communication to boost his family's overall preparedness. Mm-hmm. He's a tech, but studying for a general. So he's looking for an HF rig. I think you're actually doing a video on that on Saturday, right?
Yeah, so this podcast will hopefully go live on Friday. Saturday, which is my standard live stream day. We had a bit of a kerfuffle. Patron Picks episode was supposed to be the first of the month, mm-hmm. but the expert that I'm having on isn't available until next week. So this Saturday will be what ham radios you should look at to buy as you're starting out or are a newcomer, and I will talk about HF, VHF, UHF radios, and I will cover both what's new on the shelf and then some of the used ones that are no longer produced that people should keep an eye out for because they're extremely good values.
So I'm going to put this out just because it's a radio that he's looking for. Mm-hmm. He's looking at the Yaesu FT891.
Oh, we'll definitely be talking about that.
Because he's looking for the ability to connect to a Raspberry Pi 4 for digital modes.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that choice for the radio to show up once he passes his general?
Yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that on the show.
Okay.
Some of the things you have to keep in mind, and I'm not going to go too much in the weeds on this one because the 891 is going to have one or more slides to just talk about its pros and cons.
Okay.
One of its cons is how it interfaces to something like a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, good.
And okay. That's not to say it's bad. It's just there's more involved to make it work.
Okay. And he clarified that the how to convince my wife was a joke that we took very seriously.
We took that deadly serious.
Yeah, we were. Because it's a conversation we often have.
It's about warring sides of a battle that's will wage on and on.
He says he knows to get to the package before she sees it and not make a big deal of it. which is kind of the thing too, right? Yeah. I've seen you do this.
Yeah, this is the clandestine operation.
This is what you tried to do with the Step IR. It was like,
look over there.
It was like, no big deal. I'm just getting some packages. The Step IR came in so many boxes.
It came in two.
I thought it was more than two, but they were very big.
Oh, the box was very big. But then when you opened that box.
No, I think it was actually boxes. Three boxes because so. Boxes kept coming.
Okay.
And then you were like, oh, it's no big deal. Just go ahead. Leave it there.
But definitely bring it in. Please, God, bring it in.
Okay. So Larry Annan, who is a regular emailer a regular on the stream.
We would call him a correspondent at this point.
Yeah. Who I always appreciate. He says, the next time he talks about 2 meter antenna range, tell him just to make a tiger tail. It's easy, cheap, and effective. No need to keep buying bigger antennas. Thank you, Larry. That's such a good idea. Well, but
he's talking specifically about a handheld radio.
And then he says, I could use the savings for my purse.
We're not getting broke on handheld antennas, okay? The ABRI antenna is like $18.
All right. So
I don't actually have that many VHF, UHF handy talkie antennas.
Well, you had an entire tennis ball canister full of them. So
yeah, but those were like, that's like 10 and that's maybe $200.
Okay, you know what? I want to know.
Yeah.
All of you wonderful hams listening, tell me how many handy talking antennas you have. When you hear Josh say, I have maybe 10, is that reasonable? Is this like where he talks about having a modest shack, but he's got a step higher on the roof and an IC
I broke modesty when I upgraded from the hex beam. I think the hex beam was modest.
But it was hideous.
Well, okay. You know, modest is sometimes
still available for purchase. This hex
beam. Right, on the Ham Radio Crash Course Buy Sell Trade Facebook group. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, dipole antennas have two wires. One from the center conductor goes one way, and the shield is connected to a wire that goes the other way.
Yes.
This is the basic counterpoise. To make a 2-meter tiger tail, you take a piece of wire 19.5 inches long and solder it to a ring terminal. The ring terminal goes on the base of the SMA antenna, between the antenna and the radio. You have just given this antenna a significant boost in performance. You can cut another one for the 70 centimeter band. He links to a very useful website.
No, it's a real thing. The only problem...
Well, he wanted me to teach you how to make a tiger tail.
Oh, I know that's all about tiger tails. So the ring terminal is one way to do it. Another way is to affix it to like the belt clip screw. Because the belt clip usually goes to the chassis of the radio, and the chassis of the radio is the ground, right? So it's all interconnected. But here's the problem with the tiger tail. You've got a handy talkie. It's got an antenna sticking out of the top of it. Do you want a 19-inch wire that's just dangling off of it that you also have to deal with?
Hell, 19 inches is not that long.
The handy talkie's yay big, and then the radial thing that's just flopping around is 19 inches hanging off of it.
Bedazzle it or something. I call it
ham radio mullet. It's kind of like the mullet of the handy talkie that you've got hanging off of.
You're going to have to show it to me sometime.
Well, what's interesting is Quirky QRP came out with something. It's not actively connected to it. It's a passive connection, but it's a tether that clips, spring-loaded tether that clips to your radio so you don't lose it. And when you want to transmit, you just extend it out, and the tether's metal.
Huh.
And it acts like a counterpoise.
That's so quirky.
Yeah, it is very quirky.
Satellite contacts. I make my satellite contacts with a Yaesu FT2D radio and an Aero antenna. Yep. I record the contact with my iPhone and enter it in the log after the satellite pass. I can usually get one, maybe two contacts per pass.
Yeah.
The satellite pass happens quickly, 7 to 9 minutes mostly. You dial in your frequency and adjust your Doppler shift by simply turning the frequency dial a click or two.
Yeah.
It's not difficult while the other hand is pointing the antenna. You call a station ID and give your call sign with the grid square number. That's it. Don't talk. Don't carry on a conversation.
Yeah.
No yapping. Nobody wants to hear about your cat.
Yep.
There is no time for conversation.
Yep.
The pass is jammed with people all trying to say the same thing. The basic amateur will proudly display a number representing the above contacts. That's it. No more, no less. If you want to get antenna envy, Google ham radio satellite antenna systems. Your yard is not big enough and your roof won't take the weight.
Untrue. I know this because...
I agree with Larry. I'm team Larry on this.
He's mostly correct.
You know what? Larry might be team Leia on this one.
He is. He's mostly... So he was totally spot on how to use a handy talkie. The downside of the FT2, and by the way, this is the same radio that Bob used when he walked outside and just made a contact.
Mm-hmm.
Just first contact, no problem. I think he actually had like a simple conversation, which is just crazy what Bob did.
Bob, K6UDA?
K6UDA, yeah. I have a Kenwood D72, which is more better for satellites because it's a full duplex, meaning when I'm transmitting, I'm still hearing the other band in my ears.
Okay.
So I can hear the other people while they're replying to me at the same time.
Weren't you saying that like some people use two radios?
Yeah, so they can get the full duplex effect.
Okay.
If you have two radios, and the Aero antenna, you can do this. I have an Aero antenna.
Shocking.
I don't have an elk yet. I'm really considering an elk. Anyway, when you have two radios, you just leave the radio that's the receiving radio on, and you Doppler shift on the receiving radio. Just like Larry said, you just shift it down as you go. on the transmit radio, that's the one where you're gonna, you know, where you're on the VHF side or the UHF side, and they're mm-hmm. switched back and forth.
Gotcha.
The advantage is that you can hear the other radio constantly while transmitting into the other one.
Right.
So you know exactly what's happening. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. So Larry says to keep the podcast coming, and I didn't need to read this post on the podcast and just to keep you guessing, but I thought it was just so full of interesting information that it was worth, you know, sharing with the podcast
audience. I've made satellite contacts. I'm not saying that it's, and I basically have the same setup as him. I have an Arrow antenna, except I make YouTube videos, so I've got a camera and an audio recorder like he does. He does it on his phone, but I use an inline audio recorder, and there's all kinds of little quirky stuff. Everybody does it a little bit differently, and it still works. It's fun. And he's right. It very short passes, you know, 9 minutes. You got to get as much done in that time as possible.
I kind of like it because it limits the amount of time that you're actually operating. It's not, though,
because you still got to go outside, set it all up. I got to set the camera up. I got to do the audio check, and I got to do this well in advance. And then I like run outside when it's time, or I'm sitting out there for like 30 minutes after I get set up, you know, stuff like that.
See, but other hams are not setting up cameras.
No, I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to just, yes, I do make contacts without having a camera on, but a lot of the times it's like, well, if I'm doing this, I might as well shoot it, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Mark Ferreira, who's an EMT, sends an email. He says, greeting Mrs. Hoshnossi. That is such a funny thing, because on the Discord, I finally changed my name to Hoshnossi's wife.
Yeah.
Which everybody thought was really funny.
Right.
Except when I started talking on the ham radio channel, somebody goes, how do we know that's really you?
Wow. Imposter Hoshnossi's wife.
I don't think there are a lot of trolls on the Discord, but I don't know.
Not really. But definitely. And I was spicy. Like,
I think I said something to the effect, if it's not me, then I don't know why I'm trying to discourage him from buying antennas.
Yeah. Ruin the relationship.
He says, let me start by saying how wonderful it has been listening to Ham Radio Crash Course podcast lately. It's been the highlight of my Friday morning drive while at work. The banter between you and Josh has me laughing hysterically on the highway. I hope not too hysterically.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay safe. Yeah. I close my eyes and just shake my head like, oh my God, look at these crazy people.
The test questions have been fun to answer along with. Usually something like, nope, nope, yes, dear God, no.
Yes. And then Leia goes deep hard on the, oh God, no. Not really. I'm kidding. But.
It's always smile worthy when we hear you get the answer right. For me, too. I get very excited when I get the answer right.
And hilarious when you get it wrong.
Which has been more often than not lately.
It's true. You've been
killing it. That's so nice. Yeah. That I've jinxed myself.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're done, son. It's
zero for five today.
Let's see how it goes
today. Way to go. I'll eventually head over to iTunes to give a 5-star review, but hopefully this will suffice for now. This is great. I love emails. He has some additional ideas about the previous comment we got about doing a I have low power He-Man shirt. Right.
No, I have the power.
Yeah, but the comment was for QRP, man. I have low power.
I have low power. So instead it's like a schlubby guy. He's not really muscular.
I think we talked about this, and I think you and I have very different visions of who's on the other side of the radio.
What do you mean? I'm kidding. It's a joke. Okay. Low power. I have low power. If He-Man is He-Man,
I think it can still be He-Man.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, we go back and forth about this.
His signal goes further when he's holding the antenna. Oh wow! Okay.
He also has a suggestion for beer. The Chifuncta Brewing Company has a coffee and vanilla porter called Old 504. It looks like it might be in Louisiana, so we're gonna have to go to Louisiana.
Yes,
I want to go to Louisiana.
Destination podcast.
I want to do that. Yeah.
I mean, not now, but yes, I do.
when it's not.
Not COVID.
Yeah, yeah. And then Don Hutchcraft has an idea for a shirt that has a bad solar report, and at the bottom it says there is a disturbance in the HF bands. There's a disturbance in the forest. There's mm-hmm. a.
I like my second beverage.
I like it, but you're still so enthusiastic about appliance operator.
I so. It's like that's a hard shirt to beat, guys. I got to tell you, I'm not saying don't try. But man, that's a high bar. Not to say that anybody who comes up with a good idea, we're going to make a shirt out of it. But
yeah. And you guys know, if we end up making your shirt, we're going to send you one.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's how that works.
But I am coming up to a hard work deadline.
I know.
So
my
graphic design stuff is...
It's going to have to take a backseat. Yeah. I understand.
Maybe I'll do some designing when we go on vacation.
I mean, aside from me playing radio the whole time, you guys should just relax. You don't need to be...
Oh, I should just relax while taking care of the two kids.
You know, they need to relax too. You can relax together.
Their relaxation is not my relaxation.
The way they relax is not how I relax. Yes, that is true.
I do want to go fishing, though. Because it's like really the house is close to the lake.
I don't know that you can shore fish that well at Big Bear.
Not even bluegill? Bluegill like the shore. Yeah, they do.
It's not about the fish. It's about you getting to the water. There's not a lot of good shore points at Big Bear.
But there's docks.
Oh, yeah, we can go off the docks.
Yeah, there's a bunch of docks in that area.
Yeah, we can go nuts.
Like, every house has a dock.
If that house has a dock, we're fine.
That house has a dock, but I think that where it's at, because it's of the dry. Fires, because they empty the lake for the fires.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't, plus it's been summer, and who knows if it's actually
lakefront. Well, we'll figure it out. We'll be prepared regardless.
Yeah, I'm just putting off the inevitable right now, so.
Which is the test,
yeah. Thank you, everybody, for those emails. I do love reading them. I love learning more about ham radio to stump Josh.
And if you're interested in sending Leia an email, it is leia@hamtactical.com. And you can send her your comments and you can send her shirt ideas or just, you know, general merch ideas. If we end up making something out of it, we'll send you one.
Yeah. Or tell me that having 10 handy talkie antennas is unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable, but considering most of the handy talkies, the antennas that are in there are from the handy talkies I bought.
I see. But then that you replaced.
Not all of them. Some of them I don't keep the antennas on.
Gotcha.
So they just go in the pile.
Well, then it sounds like you have a handy talkie problem.
No, I don't have that many.
Okay, that's another question then. Let me know how many handy talkies you have. And how many handy talkies do you have, Josh?
I'm probably more than 10.
Embarrassing.
Probably more than 10.
What are you doing with all those? You only have two hands.
You haven't seen my Baofeng Daddy shirt where I'm wearing them all?
I have to tell you, I started designing that shirt like so long ago to do the bandolier of radios.
Yeah.
Drawing radios is not easy. And to get like the sash, you don't care about like how the lines meet and stuff like that. That stuff drives me crazy.
Okay. I mean, I can do the little stencil-y thing I did with the 7300.
Okay.
But with radios.
All right.
Just do a bunch of them. Crank them out. I can do that.
Excellent. You do that. And then the shirt will be done. And everybody can have a bandolier of handy talkies.
Then they too can become the Baofeng Daddy.
Yes.
Okay. Right on.
Baofeng Army. Baofeng Gang.
Fang Gang. #Fang Gang.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay. So now we're moving on to Leia taking the technician test. You do not have the face of a champion right now.
I do not. This Greyhound. Okay. So we've been drinking this. So for our anniversary, Josh and I have been married for 12 years now.
12 years. Surprised my dad when I told him.
He thought
we were like maybe 10.
Really?
Yeah.
He was there. he was at the wedding. So I bought Josh a beverage refrigerator for his ham shack.
Yes.
Because he will buy, you know, drinks for the stream and then try to put it in our fridge. And that's just not working out.
Right.
Because we always have a fully stocked fridge.
Right.
So when I bought that, I also stocked it full of drinks.
Not beers, though. You got like pre-mixed alcoholic beverages in cans.
Oh, yeah, because there were no good craft beers when I went.
At Target? Yeah, no.
No. I went to Granada, and they didn't have anything.
Yeah, Granada's been a downhill lately.
But this line of mixed drinks is from 10 Barrel Brewing Company, mm-hmm. and it is mixed drinks in aluminum cans. And I am drinking a Greyhound, mm-hmm. which is, what is that like? I know there's grapefruit juice and vodka in it.
Yeah.
And a few other drinks. I think there was Moscow Mule and margarita.
Yeah, I have the margarita right now. It's good. I think the Greyhound's the best one for sure.
But when I drank the first one, mm-hmm. that the night that I got drunk off of one can.
Yeah,
it was bizarre. So I was trying to slow roll it, but it's so tasty. I'm almost done with it, so I'm a little tips.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. As she goes for another sip, mm-hmm. here we go. Well,
I said it was so tasty,
but it's so tasty too.
It's so tasty.
That's aging us a bit.
What?
And it's so tasty, too.
Oh, I wasn't doing the bit you were doing. What bit are you doing?
Did you don't know where that's from?
No.
And it's so tasty, too.
You're dating yourself, not me.
And you just repeat it over and over again. You get more drunk as you do it.
What is this?
You're talking... Vita Benjamin?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't watch
I Love Lucy. Food. No, I do remember this. Yeah. What is the Internet Radio Linking Project, IRLP? A, a system of informing amateurs in real time of the frequency of active DX stations. B, a system for providing access to websites via amateur radio. C, a technique to connect amateur radio systems such as repeaters via the Internet using voice over IP protocol. D, a technique for measuring signal strength of an amateur transmitter via the internet. I'm going to say a technique to connect amateur radio systems such as repeaters via internet using voice over IP. I'm not sure about voice over IP though, but I'm going to choose it. Ah, ha, ha.
Yeah,
I got
you've
it.
Never heard that
I
term before.
Got it. No, I know. I mean,
like, IRLP, you've never heard of.
No. But I've heard of voiceover.
No, yeah, IP. But you never heard of that term before.
I remember when voiceover IP was like a brand new thing, and like businesses were so happy to like go away from a like long distance service.
Crazy patch panels. It's not even that. It's the interphone connects inside the building. If you've got like 300 people at desks with 300 drops, and you had all those like DIN panels, those are like crazy.
They're not good when the internet went down, though.
Yeah, well, that's its own problem. Try calling 911 when your power's out.
Which of the following is accurately represented in electrical schematics? A, all of these choices are correct. B, physical appearance of components. C, wire lengths. D, the way the components are interconnected. A, all of these choices are... No. You tricked me, Tess.
All of the above.
So
I tell people to be distrustful of all of the above. Most people see that as a free win. That's free parking, man. No, it's not free parking.
Why wouldn't the wire lengths be accurately represented? Like you just do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Wire lengths don't matter. In a schematic? No.
Okay. Matter. So the answer is D, the way the components are interconnected.
Yeah.
And so the schematic is the thing with like the squiggly lines and the resistor thingy and the capacitor.
There are usually very few squiggly lines. Everything's like right angle connections, like the black lines that connect the.
But what about
the
switches
together.
And stuff? And
you're
the
talking
LED.
About the components, but if you're talking about the lines that connect them, they have no basis in
so
reality.
So an electrical schematic is actually just the lines and dots?
No, it's the lines that interconnect the components, and the components have the discrete images that you're talking about, the resistors and the diodes and the capacitors. You know, fun point about that, you could look at a schematic that really doesn't look too much like the actual finished product. They don't always look the same.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, this is a repeat question. Which of the following battery types is rechargeable? A, lithium ion, B, all of these choices are correct, C, lead acid gel cell, or D, nickel metal hydride. And we had an entire conversation about this because I was like, what is nickel metal hydride? And you were like, I don't think I have any of those. And you definitely had them.
I definitely had
them. So all of these are correct.
You remember.
Boom. Oh, no.
You remember because I was wrong. That's what
I know.
If I pretend like I don't know, then you're going to get all these right.
No. Which frequency is within the 6 meter amateur band? I should have studied the band plan again. A, 52.525 megahertz. B, 28.5 megahertz. C, 49 megahertz. D, 222.15 megahertz. 28.5 megahertz? B?
6 meters is in the 50 megahertz space.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, test. How many...
If you had the mathematical equation, you could have figured that out on your own.
Are you allowed a calculator during the...
It just can't be like a graphing calculator where it has like memory and stuff that you have the test answers.
How will the VEs know? How will they know?
If you have a calculator, they'll ask you what type of calculator you have.
What if you just need to use your phone as the calculator?
You can't have your phone for a test.
How will they know?
Because you can't pull your phone out.
The answer is they're going to know. This is a TikTok trend.
No.
How will they know?
They're going to know.
They're going to know.
Yeah, because...
How will they know?
They'll see
it. I'm just kidding. I won't cheat on the test. I'm not a cheater. I'd rather fail than cheat.
I understand.
But I also hate cheating and failing. So.
In equal amounts.
Yeah. How many operator/primary station license grants may be held by any one person? A, one for each band on which the person plans to operate. B, one. C, one for each permanent station location from which the person plans to operate. D, no more than two. That's one, right? Unless, actually, how do repeaters work? Is the repeater a primary station license?
No, it's a repeating station.
Okay, so it's one. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh. You got me.
What is the formula for converting frequency to approximate wavelength in meters?
To pound home last week for you. Were you paying attention? Did you hear the click?
I thought that you said it was like 200 something, but all these questions are referencing 300. Did you lead me astray?
No, I gave you two numbers.
Did you lead me astray?
I gave you two numbers.
So, A, wavelength in meters equals frequency in hertz multiplied by 300. B, wavelength in meters equals frequency in hertz divided by 300. C, wavelength in meters equals frequency in megahertz divided by 300. D, wavelength in meters equals 300 divided by the frequency in megahertz. What?
Well, okay, so 300 is the constant.
Right.
And you want to get a number in meters. So like 2 meters, etc. And what are some of the frequencies we've talked about? How would you do that in maths if you're looking at the equation right now? You've got this one. You should be able to get this. Remember we had
that whole thing? Divided by. Is it the hertz divided by 300? Because the hertz goes all the way. It's like 72 is in like the 70 megahertz range is in like the 40 meters. No?
70? You've got too many zeros on there. Remember last week?
No, I don't remember the formula. But hang on.
It's really more about the frequency that you've got to remember.
Hmm.
Like if you're trying to get something, in meters, right? So you assume that it's going to be like, you know what the meters are, 40 meters and 14
is seven,
meters.
Is 7.9?
I'm trying to fill dead air, but, you know, hey, we're taking a test here. It's just taking time. Getting quiet.
Is it the frequency in I do not remember this.
People are screaming at their radio driving to work.
Okay.
I can hear them. They're all giving you future energy.
Yeah, future energy. It'll be too late. Hang on.
Hey, don't go off the test.
Oh,
what are you
no.
doing?
Okay. Is it hertz?
When have I ever talked about hertz? When have I ever used
it's megahertz?
Hertz? When have I... No, but I'm just asking, like, when have I ever given you something in hertz?
No.
No, you tell me. I don't know. You remember? I'm already giving you too much, but...
Wavelength in meters equals 300 divided by the frequency in megahertz. Yay!
Yeah. That was like literally what we talked about last week.
I know, but I didn't remember.
I didn't hear the click from here. I didn't hear it. So usually it's when I know you got it, I can hear it audibly on the monitors that we use on our ears. I can hear it.
Oh, really?
No, of course not.
I thought that I clicked the abri enough for it.
But you got it. You got there. Yeah, it's megahertz. So yeah, I mean, if you took, you're getting it on meters, right? So 40 meters, 300 divided by 7.175, for instance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's going to, you don't really have to know the equation in your head. You just know, yeah, that's going to get you 40.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
just yeah. Looking at it. You don't have to do it. You just look at it and go like, okay, that makes sense.
Gotcha. Which of the following could be the primary gain-inducing component in an RF power amplifier?
Ooh, this is going to be a tough one for you.
A, resistor. B, transistor. C, transformer. D, reactor. Is reactor,
you know, like a nuclear
thing?
Reactor. Like that. Mr. Fusion.
I'm going to say transistor. Yay!
Congratulations. That
Thank
was good.
You.
Very nicely done.
Thank you.
But it was. It could also be Mr. Fusion. You get a lot of power out of those. Particularly if you put them in your DeLorean.
Could be a reactor.
You know, throw your banana peels
More
in
power.
There, you know,
More power.
Or your old beer can. You know. Again, references you're not catching. They're just
Back to the Future is what
yes,
you're talking
yes.
about
yeah, yeah,
right
yeah.
now.
The whole just... scene in the second movie where he now has... So instead of having the fuel can the fuel rods that
okay.
you know they had to remember the first one he
yes.
had little water containers uh-huh. to drop the fuel rod in
yeah
in the second one he has a Mr. Fusion it looks like a coffee maker and he cracks open it and he just starts dumping trash in there and lights coming out of it and I as a kid I was like that sounds amazing that's like ultimate free power you know or not free power but you
that's
get the
so
idea.
Good for the environment where's Doc Brown when you need him to save
Nuclear
the world
is great for the environment what are you talking about.
That's what I'm saying. It's so great for the environment.
You
throw
kind
trash
of sarcastic when you said it, so I'm just
the idea of turning trash into energy is like so exciting to me.
So exciting.
I mean, I compost all the time.
I turn it into energy. I'll just burn it. That's energy.
Not without the air quality management
well,
district showing up.
You clear the air and you end up losing more power than you gained.
What is the minimum safe distance from a power line to allow when installing an antenna? A, half wavelength at the operating frequency. B, enough so that if the antenna falls unexpectedly, no part can come closer than 10 feet to the power lines. C, the height of the power line above ground. D, half the width of your property. B, enough so that if the antenna falls unexpectedly, no part can
yeah
that's just a safety
yeah that's
yeah
you can that one's written just don't don't mess this up. They're literally writing it to be like, come on, dog. Don't electrocute yourself.
So I did actually a bunch of questions. I was like 8, I think.
Okay. Well, you did great. I think you're on the positive side. Yeah.
I missed one. You're killing it. I'm ready for the test.
You're pretty close. We've got it all lined up. We've been talking about it on the back end here. It's going to be a whole thing. We're going to live stream it.
What? No.
Maybe we could actually. That'd be fun.
That sounds horrible.
That sounds great.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine how upset people would be? Is it if we live streamed it and I failed? I'm going to get Sterling as my VE, and then just be very upset with him when I don't pass. Sterling,
Yeah, no, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're going to do great.
I'm sure I'm eventually.
I don't think we're going to live stream it, but you know, it's a good idea. Could be fun.
I just know that the tests get harder from here.
Yeah. But you're going to get, you got it.
That's like making me a little bit resistant, you know? It's like.
So you're saying you're a resistor now.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Not a transistor.
Not a transistor. So today's show topic, I said the ham radio handheld Cold War. I'm coming up with this term. I just made this up before we started the podcast.
That's a really charged term for me because I hate communism. So,
well, interesting, because we're going to talk a little bit about China. It's actually one of the key parts of this whole
thing. That's why they're calling it the Cold War.
I just came up with this term. I've never heard. Who's they?
You are
now
they.
That's like when you're talking to a conspiracy theorist. That's what they don't want you to know.
It's like, who's they?
Who's they? Whenever you talk to somebody like that, just always probe them for who is they.
They don't want you to know the world is flat.
The lizard people.
Do you think that if you taught like people who are flat earthers about ham radio, they would then realize that the earth is not flat?
Maybe. But I have done ham radio videos.
Uh-huh.
And jokingly said no one can believe in the flat earth theory,
right,
if they understand ham radio,
right?
And I have gotten comments from flat earthers that were definitely flat earthers. They weren't trolls pretending to be flat earthers. They were real.
So I was on this mom forum where this mom was asking, how do I teach my children about how the earth is flat? There doesn't seem to be very many resources on this.
I'm looking for objective material locations. Really teacher level, grade level quality material on the flat earth. Where could you point me?
And then the first comment is, if you can't find scientific resources to back up your perspective, maybe your perspective is wrong.
Or not scientific is the argument that one could make, I think. All right, so the ham radio handheld Cold War. So obviously I said handhelds, right? So we're talking about handheld radios.
Right.
Something happened. You already know about this, right?
I do.
The Baofeng came out.
I know about the existence of the Baofeng. I'm not sure how it was birthed or anything.
Well, let me tell you about the womb of the Baofeng. It's in China.
Okay.
I got secret video sent to me.
Of the womb?
Of the womb. It's disgusting.
What a womb.
What a womb.
What a woman.
Okay, no, but you understand the concept that around like 2015, the world of radio, particularly around handhelds, changed very big. And the change factor, the chaos agent, was the Baofeng hitting the market.
They shooketh.
Yes. Before that time, most of the radios were expensive, more expensive, right? General price averages were higher and all that interesting stuff. Now,
what was the cheapest radio at the time that the Baofeng was released?
Like all over $100, around $100.
And how much was the Baofeng when it came out?
$25.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty big change maker. The problem though, and here's where we're going to walk through a lot of this. And this is really just, we're going to be bantering back and forth.
Okay.
Because I'm also going in with just talking about this idea as a concept, because I thought about it and I was like, oh man, that's a really interesting idea. So before the Baofeng came out and the Japanese radios that held favor for the largest market share, and we're going to talk a lot about market share here a little bit too, they were, I would call them a little bit more full-featured.
Sure.
They had, you know, again, at the time, right? Because you have to factor that in as well. A lot of them operated, at least on the receive side, they were wide-banded. They did a lot of like extra, some of them had extra features and all that fun stuff. Their quality.
How many features can you fit onto a handy talkie?
Oh, a ton. Now, a ton. And we're going to talk about that too. But eventually, what happened was the Baofeng came out. And what I've seen as a byproduct of the Baofeng is that we really only have two handheld markets. That is a byproduct of it. Very inexpensive radios of Japanese companies that are now competing to make radios that are inexpensive, like a Baofeng.
Well, that's good.
Good. And then there's kind of a dirge of radios in the middle ground. I would give it the $125 to $250
mark. Doesn't the Yaesu fall in that range?
There are some, but they're kind of like meh. They don't scream at you for being amazing radios. And then you get like the high end of handhelds, and that takes you into like the $300 plus realm. And the $300 plus realm is like,
what is a $300 handy talkie?
I've showed it to you. It's the FT2DR. It's the Kenwood D74.
Didn't you tell me it was cheaper than $300?
A what now? Let me walk through that really quickly.
So Hold on, I've got to add this to my tally.
Yeah. So that radio is dual band, so it's VHF, UHF for transmitting, but it's wide banded. It can receive all the way down into HF bands.
Okay.
It is GPS enabled. It is Bluetooth. It has a color screen, and it does APRS, which is the automatic packet radio system.
I'm learning things.
Yeah. So ton of features. Ton more features than the Baofeng. The Baofeng is just a simple VHF radio. But what gave people a big interest in the Baofeng is that the Japanese radios were trying to market themselves and live in the market that the FCC governs.
Okay.
So they fit and fell within the requirements of the FCC's band plan. You could modify it privately, the radio, to have it transmit outside of the ham bands, but they definitely weren't sold that way. And okay. Modifying them generally required you popping off a resistor, doing some actual, like a little electronics work to make it happen. Baofeng hits the scene. Baofeng, $25. Not a great radio. Quality of audio, people complained about it. Lots of QA issues, all that stuff. But it was $25.
Sure.
And the frequencies that it operated on were like wide open. There was no restrictions put on them whatsoever.
That's something that makes people very salty about the Baofeng.
Right. So the Baofeng will work on that GMRS frequencies, where the license system, it will work on those frequencies. It will also work on the family radio service, FRS frequencies. It can technically transmit on emergency service frequencies. It can transmit.
So would it not be okay to use a Baofeng as a family radio?
It's illegal in the eyes of the FCC.
Really? Oh, mm-hmm. Because they're not authorized by the FCC to operate on those bands.
Correct. So the FCC works off of type acceptance, meaning a radio has to be sent, and it's probably more than one, but a radio gets sent to the FCC for testing, and it's under the application of the type of acceptance that they're looking for. Okay? There's different type acceptance depending on what radio you want to sell in the market. So FRS is part of type 95.
Okay.
So it's GMRS. Ham radios 97 or 90. No, yeah, it's 97. And then commercial radios is type 90 or part 90. Well, the Baofeng works in all those spaces. It works in 90, 95, 97.
Well, this is a little bit bizarre to me because I always understood from you explaining it to me that you license the operator, not the station.
Correct.
Right? So what does it really matter if you use the Baofeng on GMRS if you have a GMRS license?
So you're close, but you're not there yet. That only, the licensing of the amateur is for ham radio frequencies.
Okay.
If you are GMRS or FRS, you have your license and the radios must be part accepted, type accepted for that frequency space. Has nothing to do with ham radio. FRS, GMRS, totally separate services.
So,
as a ham radio operator, you can't just transmit on FRS, GMRS.
So, I mean, is the real issue that Baofeng hasn't just gotten their type acceptance on these other bands that they can operate on?
No, because the requirements of those type acceptance, the requirements of the FCC, prohibits a Baofeng from ever being accepted in that space.
Oh, so they can only be part accepted for whatever that restricted
right. Baofeng
band.
Radios are generally type 90 certified. That's commercial radio. Like you would use it like a business, that you got a business license to use a certain frequency.
Okay.
You can have somebody program Baofengs for that frequency, and that's all you could use. You can't legally, under the FCC's eyes, program a Baofeng for FRS and GMRS and transmit on them because they, in the case of FRS, they put out too much power. Their front key panel programmable can't have that on FRS. You can't have a keypad to type in a frequency, for instance.
Oh.
Can't have a swappable antenna.
Oh.
There's all kinds of little things the FCC ratchets down
so
on.
So all
for
the
FRS
things that make walkie talkies janky. Are
yes.
All the things
those
that
are
the
by
FCC.
Choice. Those are features.
Yeah.
It's features of the service rather than detriments of the service. Ham radio, you can do whatever you want. And so that's why hams use the Baofengs, is because it can pretty much do anything you want. But if you only have a ham radio license and you're using a Baofeng to transmit on GMRS, that would be illegal. Straight up to the FCC. But that was a bit of a tangent. That's not the point.
But the FCC doesn't police anything.
They used to, and technically they still do. If you're illegally transmitting on like FM broadcast stations or AM broadcast stations, they will definitely come find you.
Well, that's because people pay for those frequencies.
You nailed it. You nailed it big time. But what I want to talk about is kind of more towards the changing world of the handy talkie when it comes to the players that have already existed in the space, the Japanese manufacturers, right?
Okay.
Japanese manufacturers generally produce really high-quality radios.
Sure.
I don't care what anybody says. They're really, really good radios. When the Baofeng came out, we saw some of the companies that it's now taken on a little bit more start to produce some of their radios in China at that basement price
sure.
point.
Sure. Okay.
And the curiosity I have is, this is kind of just the way it's going to go. If you know, you're going to have a high tier market, and then you're going to have kind of this low market, and you're likely going to get into a spot where the middle ground radio is not really going to be a big market anymore. Like, there's not going to be much compelling reason for a lot of these companies to have a lot of SKUs. Like different product lines.
Is there a quality loss moving to Chinese manufacturing?
People believe so. There's definitely a perception of quality.
I mean,
loss.
Apple phones are made in China.
Apple phones. Yes, but that's generally like their factories that they've created. People have.
Well, I guess
so
what
like
I'm saying is that the quality manufacturing isn't impossible in China. It just depends on how much quality control the company is putting into the production of their...
Sure. For instance, Yaesu's FT4X radio. It's basically a Baofeng. Under the skin of it, a lot of Baofeng parts.
Okay,
similar
but
parts
better.
To Baofeng.
But band-restricted.
Band-restricted. It has some different features. A little bit different. But there's not much difference that you can cram into it because it's so inexpensive.
What's the price difference?
$75 for the Yaesu.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's the cheap one. That's the one that's dual band. They have cheaper ones that those are mono band, meaning it's only 2 meters or 70 centimeters.
Well, I mean, look at what Apple has done with the iPhone. They now make an iPhone SE, which is relatively inexpensive compared to their mid-level and high-end iPhones.
It's tough to compare phones in this case because the iPhone's competitors also produce stuff in China.
Right.
Androids are produced there, so it's kind of like they're already in the market. They're in the same space. They're already getting really good quality out of being in China because they have huge productions, huge numbers of quantity.
Okay.
And they're probably directing a lot of the control over the manufacturing, which I'm making. This is just total, you know, I'm coming up with these ideas on my own. I don't have any evidence to show that the Yaesu, for instance, when they make something in China, is any less quality. I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying that they are seeing the advantages of creating something in China, and that's why some of their radios are
they were previously manufactured in Japan?
Yes.
How is that even financially possible?
Well, they were more expensive, and that was paid again. But ham radio is kind of still a boutique thing, right? It's not a
right.
There's a lot of people. Like, there's over probably 1 million worldwide licensed hams, but that's like 1 million.
That's a very small number,
right?
Of people.
And how many of those are actually going to be a buyer for a very specific SKU?
Well, right? Plus there are a lot of radios out there.
Well, exactly. That's why it is. Boutique, right? There's so many different niches in the hobby and so many different types of radios that...
Yeah, and I would argue that handy talkies are almost a transitional radio.
No, because they are completely different systems. Just because you're into HF, there are people that are into HF that will never use a handy talkie. That's true, but I would say that that's a probably rarer person. Many people that are into HF still have handy talkies.
Right, but I'm saying it's not. I don't know that, and you tell me, because I imagine handy talkies as the entry radio that ends up being your portable radio. Right,
sure.
And you're not necessarily buying a ton of handy talkies when, as you progress through the hobby, you're looking at more robust base station or portable HF radios.
For base station, sure.
Yeah.
But you're always going to have like a need for a handy talkie.
I know, but how many handy talkies are you going to buy?
No, your point lands. I understand what you're saying.
The amount that the handy talkie is being sold for is much smaller than a base station or...
Well, but everybody wants the like whiz-bang handy talkie. Regardless of, let me put it this way: they sell more handy talkies than they sell mobile radios. They sell more mobile radios likely than they sell HF radios.
Okay.
Handy talkies do actually move. There's a big market for handy talkies.
So you're telling me that a lot of people own 10 handy talkies?
No, I mean actually over the course of their life, probably. That wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
Well, so now I've just set the stage, right? I've kind of set the stage for where we're going with this. So digital radio. We've talked about digital before.
Yes.
And we're specifically talking about the digital radio that you would get in a handy talkie, which is voice digital radio.
Okay.
There are three major players in voice digital. There is Yaesu System Fusion.
Okay.
There is D-Star, which is ICOM.
Yeah.
And then there is DMR.
Do they talk to each other?
No. Like,
are you serious?
This is where we're going. This is the Cold War, okay?
Wait, so if you buy a radio that works on D-Star, it's not going to work on DMR?
No. You have to buy a completely separate device that will do the universal translation of DMR to D-Star.
And
DMR
is that there's a quality loss between when you
Some argue
it?
There is, but let's say that there isn't. But you have to go out and buy another $200 device to do that. So these are not interoperable modes.
Wow.
Okay. Two of the modes are Japanese. The third, DMR, is a co-opted mode that kind of got its feet under it through Motorola, through something called Moto Turbo, and has since been largely used in commercial radio. Commercial truckers, you know, like if you had a factory or a plant, you would use DMR to digital radio to like communicate to radio.
Who's got the biggest market share right now?
DMR does. DMR has been completely adopted by Chinese radio manufacturers, and they're pumping out Chinese radios that do DMR.
And they're cheaper.
And they're cheaper. Generally.
Huh.
So the Chinese radio that is DMR radio will be starting at... They make Baofeng versions of the DMR radios that are like $40, $50, $60, something like that. And then some of the better Chinese brands start at about $100 and then they can go all the way up. Like the top.
So what's the benefit of the digital mode? Is this something that's going to be widely adopted or has already been widely adopted?
Has been widely adopted. There's two benefits. Well, there's multitudes of benefits, but I'll give you one. So if we were doing simplex digital, which you can do, meaning you have a handy talkie, I have a handy talkie.
Right. Short
distance.
And we distance.
Just keep walking away from each other.
Okay.
Digital is going to sound the same up until the point where the signal is too lossy and just drops completely.
Okay.
Meaning you're going to go a mile away from me. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to cut out.
But in a non-digital mode, the quality immediately starts dropping as you're getting...
The further you get it, you're getting it, because it's analog, right? So analog radio is just going to slowly get worse over time until the point that you can't hear the person. Digital is going to sound pretty much the same up until the point that it drops. Now, the thing with digital voice is that it's basically taking the bandwidth of human voice and analog, and it's cutting it in half. So you can have two conversations going.
Okay.
This is the case of DMR. You can have two conversations going simultaneously. So DMR repeaters are really popular.
Right.
DMR repeaters can have two simultaneous conversations going on at one time.
And that's why the sound is so great on a repeater.
It's just that the way that the mode works, that they can have a repeater that's having two simultaneous discussions, whereas an analog repeater can only have one at one time.
Okay.
So DMR repeaters have gotten really popular to go along with it.
And D-Star works the same way?
No. Well, yes, in a sense that there is one half is voice, but the other half in D-Star's case is data. There's a data packet section involved, and that's where it can exchange information, pictures, images, location.
And DMR can't do the pictures?
It can't do the pictures, but it can do the data to a degree.
Okay.
But the point here, and what's interesting, is we have a situation that's like VHF versus Betamax, Blu-ray versus HD video.
Yeah, very exciting.
Right. Those are the Japanese companies.
Yeah.
D-Star, Yaesu System Fusion. And Wires X, but that's also part of Yaesu System Fusion. But then you have this other chaos agent over here that's the Chinese radios that are already cheap. And they add DMR into them. And all of a sudden, they have a larger market share.
Right, because you want to be on whatever network most people are using so that you can make contact with them.
Right, so let me hit you with the big thing. This is the part that you may be getting, or I don't know if you understand this or not, and that's why I'm going to mention it. So when you talk into a repeater, it's as good as the repeater can transmit, the propagation space. Well, all these digital modes work over the internet.
Right.
Meaning, if you hit a repeater, that repeater could be internet linked. And that internet linked repeater could link to other repeaters anywhere in the world. Or not even link to a repeater at all. It could just link to that $200 device that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Over the internet. So now you're using your handy talkie to talk to anyone in the world, basically. Anybody that can hit a repeater that is internet enabled or has one of these little hotspot devices, as we call them, can talk to anybody at any time.
Okay. And are there D-Star repeaters?
Yeah.
And
Yaesu System Fusion repeaters too.
And the most prevalent...
is DMR.
I think that's a done deal, right? You win based off of market share.
Well, then, so the Japanese companies they would argue that they're not completely closed in proprietary modes, but they're in some instances they're not open source, right? They're not open architecture.
Sure.
So what would the Japanese companies do in this case? They have built their designs around certain chipsets based off of the digital modes that they want to operate on.
Well, I mean, is it possible just to make a radio that will operate on all three built in?
No, because Yaesu's not going to tell ICOM how to do it. To make a radio that will...
But you're saying that there are converters.
This $200 hotspot device, yes.
Will convert all three?
Not at the same time, but yes. Like one at a time. D-star to Yaesu, DMR to D-star, DMR to Yaesu.
But DMR is the most prevalent?
DMR is the most
prevalent. So wouldn't it just be a race for the, you said Kenwood?
Kenwood does D-star.
So D-star, what was the first one you mentioned?
Yaesu System Fusion.
So wouldn't it just be a race for Yaesu System Fusion and D-star to create a way to connect to DMR and leave each other out?
But why would they want to do that? Because, so the thing to remember, and this kind of goes...
Well, how do they make their network more valuable than a more populated network?
Their radios are better, arguably. I could make a compelling case that generally ICOM radios and Yaesu radios are of a better quality than the DMR radios.
But what does it matter if the majority of people aren't talking?
Oh, I left an important part out of this. Yaesu System Fusion and D-Star are generally much easier to set up as the end user.
Oh.
DMR radios, because they're co-opted from a commercial environment, they use fairly complex systems to program them. And you must use a computer to program DMR.
This is easy. This is easy market differentiation. It's like having an Android versus an iPhone.
And that's generally the stalemate, this Cold War environment that we live in, where...
Well, then what you end up wanting to do is D-Star and the System Fusion need to be able to...
They will never.
They'll never overcome DMR.
So the enemy of my enemy is my friend in business.
Well, it's not just that, right? Like, if you consider the way that Apple positioned itself, if you want to build your brand and your network based off of the quality of radio, then you've got to kind of tout that a little bit. It's like when Apple implemented the two-color text messaging. So you knew exactly who didn't have an iPhone.
Oh, versus, yeah. But again, they can't talk to each other. They're separate worlds.
But if they could talk to each other, then now you are only dealing with the ham radio elite who bought the better, more expensive radio and care more about quality.
But
than...
you used an example of SMS, text messaging, right?
Sure.
That's an interoperable system that all brands can talk on, right? It's an accepted thing.
Sure, but you create your own microcosm between... System Fusion and D-Star.
I mean, to me, that would make sense.
Because your market share is not big enough. You have to combine. Combined, would they have bigger market share than DMR?
They'd probably be equal.
Then that's exactly what they should do, or they're dying dinosaurs.
Interesting. Even though the DMR is harder to program. And the quality of radio.
That's a selling point.
And the quality of radio is less.
The System Fusion and the D-Star end up becoming the digital frequencies for the elite. That's it. Because if you're going to bank on a better quality, easier to program basis, right? Then you leave the DMR,
the plebs.
You can make them the Blackberries.
these are all good points. We're talking very high level. Obviously, DMR, D-Star, and Yaesu System Fusion, they're all complex modes in their own right.
Sure.
They don't generally... yield to interoperability
you don't need to. You just create a very cheap method, like converter.
You said it's like two hotspot.
Now it's a $100 converter, but it only talks between
and so you don't have to split your SKU base. You don't have to make a new SKU.
Right.
You could in the future.
You don't share whatever your...
You just need the conversion.
Yeah.
but it only works with DSTAR and YAESU system
fusion. Yes.
Then you isolate
DMR from really being able to communicate. And then maybe you get a DMR blocker. I don't know. You put something in your radios that
then you have a drone
it.
And it systematically goes and finds DMR radios and kills them.
I mean, is there a way to stop the DMR converters from working with DSTAR?
If you did that, the ham radio community would blow a collective gasket.
Okay. Well, let them self-select then.
Because that's the world we live in. We live in this never-ending VHF Betamax competition, but it's
well, I mean, consider the fact that if it's easier to program and it's a higher quality radio and theoretically then the sound is better, then you're going to have a better time operating on a system fusion DSTAR connectivity than DMR.
These are all arguments that have been made by the Japanese companies, and where they lose the fight every time is that DMR is dirt cheap.
Then you have to make people willing to pay more for a better experience.
And I think they do an admirable job at that, at least attempting
it's,
that in
it's
the marketing
not a
space.
Better experience if you've only got a quarter of the market and the cheap guy has 50% of it.
Well, yeah, but if I just go buy this $200 universal talking box, then it doesn't matter, right? You can have your dirt cheap DMR radio, and you can interoperate with DSTAR and YAESU System Fusion.
But
and I could
theoretically
have my MasterClass YAESU or ICOM radio.
But theoretically, your sound is not as good as somebody operating on a System Fusion or a DSTAR.
That becomes relative at a certain point once you digitize the voice and you spit it out over the internet and all
sure.
that fun
Put
stuff.
Put in a scrambler.
A scrambler? That'd be funny.
A DMR
That's
scrambler.
Illegal. That's illegal. Can't do that.
Well, those are all my marketing ideas, so.
But I mean, it's an interesting concept, right? In the sense that you have this kind of world where Baofeng's completely shook up the market, right?
Right.
To the point that
there's not enough hams for this fight. There's
I know, it's not. Crazy, right? It's crazy.
A market of a million people.
Yeah.
There's not enough hams for this fight.
I know. Well, that's what we're out there trying to do. We're trying to make more hams to
battle it out.
I don't know. To make it more confusing for them so they're endlessly confused.
So what side are you on? Because we know certain YouTubers are in certain camps, right?
I have all the modes. Of course I do. So generally the DSTAR experience is easier to get up and running as an end user.
Sure.
It is literally, you pick up the radio, you click a button, and a lot of them are GPS enabled. The reason why they're GPS enabled is they've got a bank of repeaters in the radio.
Wow.
That knows where you are. Well,
that's so interesting, because one of the biggest pains people have with the Baofeng is programming those suckers.
Right. And so the DSTAR removes all of that by saying, give me the nearest repeater, wherever you're at. And it goes, oh, it's this one. And then you just talk on it. DSTAR is the older mode of the three, though, and it has some complexities in that, but it's not unapproachable. It's easier, I think, to use DSTAR than it is to program a DMR code plug.
I'm going to be honest. I think most hams are just going to buy all three, too.
Or they'll buy a hotspot that allows them to use all of the modes.
Yeah.
That's generally what people have been doing. But I get a ton of messages like, when are the radio companies just going to pick one?
They're not.
There never will. There's no reason to. Unless they can come to some kind of like loose agreement where they make a node, a box that cuts DMR out and it's just DSTAR and YAESU System Fusion.
Yeah. I mean, they could make plenty of money on the boxes.
Well, those boxes aren't made by the major companies.
But they should be.
Well, there you go.
Because right. They're leaving money on the table. If they know that people are buying those boxes, mm-hmm. why not just make the money on the boxes too?
There's a box out there. This box is the most expensive box. It's $350.
Gold-plated box.
$350.
Heidi Fleiss box.
Hollywood high-class box. So this box, $350, you use your phone to program it. and you can get it up and running in 5 minutes. Whatever your radio does, it doesn't care. It just
I just kind of feel like this should be a feature that's just built into the radios. Like, it's a feature
they're component based. Like, at a certain point, it becomes about the individual components in the radio. It does that mode because those are the components that are in the radio.
Yeah, but they're you can't fit parts. What's in the box in a radio.
No. Oh, so interesting point. The boxes all use Raspberry Pis, so they all use a computer.
I see. Okay, this is not a small box.
No, it's yay big. I've got a bunch of them.
So I don't know why you wouldn't just make the radio a little bit bigger and stick the components in there.
Well, yeah, but you'd have to design a chip that goes onto your radio.
Now you've created a digital radio that talks on everything, and then you don't have to. It should be a race to that.
Yeah, but again, we're at the point we're at right now. Like, DMR's kind of an open book, kind of. There's a discrete chip that they use, that the vocoder chip, that is just, it's closed architecture.
But you're saying that there are converters, and the converters are relatively small.
Relatively. A lot of people will tether the converter to their phone for internet.
Okay.
And then RF from their HT into the box.
Okay. Well, that's just whooshing over my head right now.
To get to the internet, right? Because that's what that box wants to do. Is it wants
but
to
I mean, if
to
I'm if I'm a radio creator, and I know that people want access to all of the platforms, I'm going to either race to make that converter that works best with my radios, or I'm going to build it into my radios and charge more for the radio access to all digital.
I mean, your radio might be bigger.
Do people care that much?
To a certain point. Yeah, we definitely talk about that. I talk about that.
There's a trade-off, right? How much do people want the smaller radio versus access to all of the digital frequencies?
Yeah, so the best thing I think that the major manufacturers would... So this is, again, this is kind of the weird world we live in. An ICOM, you know, D-Star radio might be able to pull in DMR. Yaesu System Fusion might also be able to pull in DMR. But at this point, those two do not. Probably will not
talk to each other.
Yeah.
Well, then it makes DMR the winner.
I mean, it's already
trending. Because it's cheaper.
But again, it becomes, it's a really interesting thing because, again, this isn't going down to like T-Mobile and saying, what's your coverage? Show me your coverage map.
Sure.
I want to know that I'm not going to be in a dead zone. You know, show AT&T.
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah, but it's not a commercial venture. These are hams.
But still,
the hams putting up repeaters
okay,
is not a commercial.
Okay, so I think you're looking at this the wrong way. I think you are looking at ham radio as a method of communication. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, it's just another social network.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a highly technical social network. And
you've created a very high level of oversimplification. I'll just say that, but I think you know that.
Yeah. But all social networks are built on the ability to reach other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to go on MySpace when you can reach everybody on Facebook, unless there is something, a better experience being had on a specific network that may be exclusivity based, right? That's kind of how Facebook got built. It initially was only at Ivy Leagues, and then it opened to only colleges, and it kind of like garnered its support there. That's why I'm saying if they're able to communicate with each other, which it sounds like they're not going to be willing to do, but if they create a better experience bridging the two companies and then making the market share equal, that is their best chance at preserving whatever network, digital network, they've set up.
Yes, to a point. But again, your point is that the repeaters are discrete repeaters. They don't interoperate, right? They're all,
right.
It's all stovepiped. We use that term a lot in engineering. It's a stovepipe system, right? D-Star repeaters work with D-Star repeaters. YAESU system fusion repeaters work with YAESU system fusion repeaters, DMR, you get the idea. The interoperability happens from that little box. That's it right now.
Right.
So I've always advocated for people, it's like, pick the radio that you like the most, mm-hmm. the one that has the features that you want at the price point you want, and then buy a converter, buy a hotspot, and then just bridge the gap that way.
I mean, I think the average user is going to go for the most cost-effective option.
Yes, to a point, but a lot of people hit that barrier of programming the DMR radio, and they're like, I'm not.
You don't have a video on how to program a DMR radio?
Oh, yeah. It's still one of I have a few videos on it.
Well,
and I get comments on it all the time. That it's,
solutions.
No, it's not. I'm not kidding when I tell you it's complicated. It is. Because, again, it was designed for a commercial system. It was designed for, like, I have five engineers, so I'm going to program these radios as engineer radios, and then I've got...
So somebody just needs to come up with, like, an app or a script or something like that that
you make it sound like it's simple. People have already tried it. People have tried it. It's hard.
Well, this is all I got, man.
No, I'm saying... That's all I got. You're coming up with the same ideas that people are doing in the market space, and it's interesting, but it's... Again, it's kind of like a business cold war. It's kind of where I came up with the term to tie it all back in a little bit.
Do they still make... What was the Blu-ray competitor?
HD DVD. DVD HD. That was the Microsoft. Remember, it was Sony versus Microsoft. And they banked... So each one of them banked on their game consoles being the selling point.
Right.
And eventually Blu-ray won. But...
because of options.
I believe so. I believe that Blu-rays had larger capacity. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed them to do data on board or extra data on the disc that the HD DVD could not do.
Yeah, I just... If DMR is going to be cheaper and it's not, aside from the programming aspect, is not going to be a poor experience operating, mm-hmm. System Fusion and D-Star have a real hard fight unless they figure out how to recover the market share.
I'm literally making a video idea. I'm pulling up my video idea notes thing that I have right here. I think it would be fun to put one of each radios in front of you.
Okay.
And let you play with them.
What?
Well, let you kind of try and navigate.
Okay. I'll do that.
Because I don't know that I'm selling how much more difficult DMR is to use.
Let's do it.
That would be fun. All right.
I like repeaters anyway.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I will set that up. We almost an hour and 45 minutes today.
Wow.
Yeah. So thank you, Leia, again, for coming out to the podcast studio.
Yes.
Doing a podcast with me.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. Thank you again. So that'll do it for us today, everybody. Just to remind you, you can message us, and by us, I mean Leia, at leia@hamtactical.com, and this is for podcast purposes. We'd love it if you gave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Drop us a comment and, you know, tell us what you think. And as always, please check out the Ham Radio Crash Course YouTube page. There is also our Discord. The link in the description will be for the Discord.
The Discord's massive now.
We just passed 10,000 members.
Yeah.
The Facebook group, well over 10,000 members already.
Yeah.
It's growing in just crazy amounts.
So many helpful people, too.
Amazingly helpful. It's the best. Well, I generally say the online communities of Ham Radio are pretty good. Some are not great and could, you know, be a little bit more inclusive, I feel. But we're definitely going after number one inclusive community in ham radio.
Yeah.
I think we're killing it in that space. And that's all thanks to you, the listener. So thank you for doing what you do. And I think we'll leave it at that. Anything, Leia, did we... Oh, hamtactical.com. Go there for the merch for the show. We need a podcast shirt.
We need
something podcast related. What's a podcast shirt? We should come up with something. We should think about that.
I have no idea. My brain is fried, and I'm still thinking about my work deadline.
So, okay, all right. Yeah. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy work schedule. I know you're very busy because I live with you, and you tell me about these things.
They tell you? You don't see me?
I do. I pay attention.
Yeah, sure.
I pay attention. You're to just what's like, going on.
Oh, she's being so quiet. I can sneak off to my ham shack. She won't even notice.
She's not asking me to do anything, so I guess I'm clear. Well, we'll leave it at that. Again, thanks everybody. I appreciate you coming out and listening to the podcast. Until we talk again, we'll say 73.
73.